Okay, and welcome to July 14th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristofaro. And one of the reasons why I love doing this show is because, in my opinion, it's about time we started to get a little bit more patriotic about our country. So with that in mind, let's begin the show with a Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags, and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen, brother. All right, now on to today's show. We'll wish a very happy birthday to former President Ford. Happy birthday, MP3.
And the news hits the East Coast about Little Bighorn.
All right, so now let's do this. 1913. Happy birthday, Junie. Gerald Ford, number 38, had been the first vice president chosen under the terms of the 25th Amendment. And, after the Watergate scandal, was succeeding the first president ever to resign in 1974. Gerald Ford was born in Omaha, Nebraska, with the name Leslie Lynch King Jr., July 14, 1913. His father was abusive, and his mother would not tolerate that, and when Leslie was just a small baby, she divorced Leslie Lynch King Sr. and met and married Gerald Rudolph Ford. Ford starred on the University of Michigan football team, then went to Yale, where he served as assistant coach while earning his law degree. History.com says that he was a model who posed in his military uniform on the cover of Cosmopolitan magazine in 1942, but wasn't officially credited. Whatever that means, was he on the damn cover or not? Anyway, during World War II, he attained the rank of lieutenant commander in the Navy. After the war, he returned to Grand Rapids, where he began to practice law and entered politics. A few weeks before his election to Congress in 1948, he married Elizabeth Bloomer, a.k.a. Betty. Legend has it, during their honeymoon, he took Betty to a Michigan State Rose Bowl game against Northwestern. To state the obvious, Ford was really big into football. Ford's reputation for integrity and openness had made him popular during his 25 years in Congress. From 1965 to 1973, he was House Minority Leader. So, how did a House Minority Leader become president? Well, technically, he didn't. Nixon, who was getting buried by Watergate scandals, chose Ford as vice president after the current VP, Spiro Agnew, resigned. Though VP Ford defended Nixon to the hilt, Nixon would resign nonetheless. And the first thing Ford did when he replaced Nixon as president was pardon Nixon, which started Ford's presidency with controversy. According to WhiteHouse.gov, Ford vetoed a number of non-military appropriation bills that would have further increased the already heavy budgetary deficits. During his first 14 months as president, he vetoed 39 measures, which were usually sustained. A major goal was to help business operate more freely by reducing taxes upon it and easing the controls exercised by regulatory agencies. Again, according to WhiteHouse.gov. In foreign affairs, Ford was able to maintain détente with the Soviet Union, but never quite reached that arms agreement he wanted with them. Although, he did manage to get the Soviets, along with about 30 other countries, to sign the Helsinki Accords, which was close enough to a détente as one could get. He got the troops out of defeated South Vietnam and ordered the rescue of 40 American sailors being held hostage by the Cambodians. He also kept America out of war with the Middle East by providing aid to Israel and Egypt and persuading the two countries to accept an interim truce agreement. President Ford won the Republican nomination for the presidency in 1976, but lost the election to his Democratic opponent, former Governor Jimmy Carter of Georgia. On Inauguration Day, President Carter began his speech, quote, "For myself and for our nation, I want to thank my predecessor for all he has done to heal our land," unquote. Many agreed. Ford died in 2006 at the age of 93, outliving all other presidents, by the way. Gerald Ford, who only served 895 days in office, had the shortest tenure of a president who did not die in office. Happy birthday, Junie. Okay, 1995. MP3 is born. Why was it invented? Because in ancient times, a high-end home computer only had a 500 megabyte hard drive. A 3-minute song on a CD was 32 megs.
internet downloading speeds were limited to 56K and would literally take all day to download a song. Who's got time for that? The MP3 used compression to reduce the song size to about 2 to 3 megs. Now we're talking. 1876. Here are today's headlines. New Orleans Picayune, Little Horn River Massacre, Chicago Times, Indians, the Red Friends, Daily Herald, the Indian War, General Terry's official report of the Custer Massacre. Although General George Armstrong Custer's men did not survive the ambush led by Sitting Bull a couple of months earlier, reports of what actually happened are still unclear. The only witnesses that lived appear to be from the Sioux and Cheyenne tribes, though those reports are contradictory and muddled at best. One thing that appears to be certain, regardless of the quote-unquote heroics of General Custer as an American hero and Indian hunter, he had no last stand. In fact, his men retreated into an unorganized rout and were defeated at the hands of Crazy Horse and his men. Although there were some who, at the time, criticized Custer for his ruthlessness and senseless Indian killing, most Americans applauded Custer. In 1881, Helen Hunt Jackson wrote a book called A Century of Dishonor, which laid out the atrocities of U.S. policy towards the indigenous North American. What's interesting about this book is that, once again, it wasn't written in 1981, it was in 1881. Settlers tried to destroy the American Indians' main source of food and warmth by decimating the sacred buffalo. During the Civil War, there were 15 million buffalo roaming the Great Plains, and by the turn of the 20th century, there were only a few hundred. General Custer had a flair for bravado and fame, and was one of the youngest generals at age 23 during the Civil War. He would often lead his men into battle, unlike most officers who fell back. When gold was discovered in the Black Hills of Dakota, the Lakota Sioux was pushed out of their reservations, with the U.S. Army once again reneging on the deal, which allowed them to stay. At Ash Creek in Montana, late 1875, Sitting Bull had gathered together around 10,000 Sioux and Cheyenne to defend their new homes. Custer and his 7th Cavalry was sent in to disperse the crowd, but had no idea the vast number of Indians. The white man was defeated so badly, there was no chance for a last stand. Though the battle took place in June, word was now finally hitting the East Coast in the newspapers, and Americans were furious at the loss of their beloved Civil War general. The retribution against the Indians would be fast and brutal, from the Nez Perce and Geronimo and the Apache struggle to the Oklahoma Sooners. The American Indian Wars, which began in 1622, according to Wikipedia, would last until 1924.
So that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for July 14th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Take a look at the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. There's a bunch of multiple choice quizzes on there for you, as well as a comment board for you to let me know what you thought about today's program. Did you send a happy birthday card to Gerald Ford? Little late, he's been dead since 2006. What about the MP3 technology? Is that like the best invention ever? Billy the Kid fans, have you ever been to Fort Sumner? What did you think? So yeah, let me know. Now on to tomorrow's program. I'll talk about Zebulon Montgomery Pike, the movie Die Hard. We'll wish a happy birthday to Jesse the Body Ventura, and Nolan Ryan throws a second no-hitter. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle is JDUSHL. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you tomorrow.